Hi everyone, good afternoon. We'll start in a while. People are joining. Welcome to InfoEdge conference call. I am Anand Bansal, along with my colleague Vivek Agarwal. We'll run this conference. We have about 90 people with us. We'll start in a short while. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Anand Bansal. Welcome to InfoEdge conference call. Along with my colleague, Vivek Agarwal, we'll run this conference. Vivek, we can start now.
Sure. Thanks, Anand. Hi, everyone. Good evening and welcome to InfoEdge India Q1 22 financial results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the call, please raise your hand on your screen. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today from the management side, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Founder and Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Co-Promoter and Managing Director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin today, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of investor presentations for detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vivek. And a very good evening to everyone, and welcome to our Q1 financial year 2022 earnings conference call. Trust you and your loved ones are safe and in good health. As we come out of the second wave of the pandemic, we would like to express our heartfelt condolences to all the InfoEdge stakeholders who lost a family member, friend, or colleague. I hope the coming days are better for everyone. Over the past 1.5 years, InfoEdge has stepped up and has not left any stone unturned to support the health and overall well-being of our employees and their family members. We continued with COVID relief work and helped our employees with oxygen support and emergency supply of basic and advanced medicines, hospital beds, ambulance support, healthcare services at home, and other healthcare needs. Despite all this, we lost 4 of our employees to the pandemic. Our thoughts and prayers are with them and their family members. We continue to offer COVID leaves and enhanced medical insurance coverage to all. We also recognize the emotional toll on employees and initiated mental well-being programs for all employees of our company. Also realizing that vaccination is the only way to return to normalcy, InfoEdge carried out a vaccination drive for all our employees and their family members. We also extended the vaccination drive to our partners and clients, especially in 99acres. We will remember this challenging time in our lives as a turning point that asserted us out of our comfort zone and pressed us towards a different future. We will now talk about the quarterly financial performance of the company. We'll start with the overall financials as always, and then cover each business financials in more detail. And then, of course, we'll have Q&A. The audited financial statements and other schedules on segmental billing, revenues, etc., along with the data sheet, have been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. Let's begin with the summary of key numbers in the standalone financials. Billings in Q1 are rupees 314.2 crores, up by 66.6% year-on-year. Revenue in Q1 is rupees 319.7 crores, up by 14.1% year-on-year. Operating expenses for the quarter, excluding depreciation and amortization, are rupees 220 crores, up 25.3%. And operating EBITDA stood at rupees 99.7 crores versus 104.6 crores last year, a drop of 4.7% year-on-year. And operating EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 31.2% compared to 37.3% last year. And cash EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 94.1 crore compared to rupees 13.7 crore last year for the same quarter. Deferred sales revenue stood at rupees 5016.1 crores as of June 30th, 2021 versus rupees 371.7 crores as of June 30th, 2020, an increase of 36.2% year on year. The cash balance of Info Edge, including the wholly owned subsidiary, stands at rupees 3561 crores as of June 30, 2021, as against 1425 crores on June 30th, 2020. As one can see from the above numbers, the company witnessed a remarkable recovery in billings in Q1 over Q1 of the previous year. The billings for the year-over-year growth in Q1 billings is across all its business verticals, but with different, we saw different growth in different, to different degrees in different verticals. The recruitment business has shown a sharp rebound in the activities of the platform, with the June 21 JobSpeak index reflecting almost 100% year growth year on year, and IT and ITES showing positive trends in hiring. The recruitment business is poised for a high growth phase, to enter a high growth phase. In 99acres, a drop in traffic on the site was about 30% in April compared to the previous month due to the second wave of the pandemic. It started recovering month over month. The monetization of 99acres was severely impacted, particularly in the month of May, which is at the peak of the second wave. Since then, we have witnessed a recovery in both traffic and monetization, and the external environment on the real estate business has also turned more benign. In Jeevansathi, we continue with our strategy to invest in brand and improvements in user experience. We continue to focus on the Hindi-speaking belt in North and West India. During the peak of the second wave of the pandemic, the subdued sentiments didn't hamper the steady progress of the growing number of users and billings in Jeevansathi. Shiksha doubled its billings in the quarter compared to Q1 of FY21. Compared to the pre-pandemic year of FY20, also it showed a growth of about 45%. Clearly, this the portal is continues to gain acceptance in with the student community and with colleges and universities. The Naukri distribution muscle was leveraged by iimjobs and Hirist, and they both grew in terms of number of clients, billings, and cash profits. During the quarter, we also completed our acquisition of Zwayam, the Bangalore-based SaaS company. And which has the Bangalore-based SaaS company, Zwayam, actually has some marquee customers for its SaaS product. Zwayam, along with RMS, would strengthen Naukri's offerings in the enterprise segment going forward. In early July, we also announced the signing of definitive agreements to acquire DoSelect, a Bangalore-based company in the assessment space. DoSelect would add breadth and depth to the Naukri's product stack in the recruitment space. As a result of the accelerated digitization in the companies, in not just in India, but in globally, the talent market has become very, very competitive, particularly in the technology and digital talent space. This gets reflected in our higher personal cost during the quarter as well. I mean, it's becoming almost impossible to hire talent in this market. We are watchful of discretionary expenses, balancing the long-term investments into the business with short-term goals. As a company, we continue to work from home. All our employees have been working from home for the last almost 17-18 months now, without any impact on productivity. And the total headcount of the company remained around 4,500 as of June 30, 2021, up by about 2.5% from March 31, 2021. Moving on to the financial and other highlights of the recruitment segment. In Q1 of 2022, the recruitment segment billings were rupees 243.5 crores, up 73.6% year on year, while revenues were 222.6 crores, up 11.2% year on year. Operating EBITDA stood at rupees 123.6 crores, up 2.5% from Q1 of 2021. Margins were at 55.6% versus 60.3% in Q1 of FY21. Cash EBITDA for recruitment during the quarter stood at rupees 144.8 crores, up from rupees 60.8 crores reported for Q1 of 2021. The cash EBITDA margins are at 59.5% of the billings compared to 43.4% in Q1 of 2021. iimjobs and Hirist saw a quantum jump in their billing numbers year on year. The billing for the quarter stood at 8.6 crores, up by 173% from Q1 of 2021. Pending the final legal process of the merger, these numbers are excluded from the standalone numbers above. Though we saw recovery in most segments, the IT and ITS segment was the most significant contributor to the overall numbers. We also witnessed high growth across geographies in terms of new customers added and billings per customer. We had a very high renewal rate. We saw a very high renewal rate for WestEdge subscriptions during the quarter. We also see a significant uplift in market sentiment as few customers buying higher volumes in anticipation of an uplift in hiring demand in the near future. The important point I want to make is that last year, and particularly in the first half of last year, due to lockdowns and COVID, a lot of companies deferred their annual renewals. As a result, the renewal base has shifted for many companies. Right? So the point I'm trying to make is that while we are sort of okay comparing this year with last year, but comparisons with last year may not be appropriate, because the renewal base has shifted for a lot of companies. So we expect Q2, for example, and Q3 to sort of show higher growth if this trend continues vis-a-vis Q2 and Q3 of 19-20, because the bases have shifted. I hope I'm able to get my point across clearly. A lot of companies who were supposed to renew in Q1 of last year did not renew in Q1. Many of them went on to renew in Q2 and Q3 and some in Q4. And therefore, their renewals will now come in Q2, Q3, and Q4 of this year and not in Q1 or Q4, right? Just one second. The new approach we are following in Naukri because we've acquired a lot of new businesses and added new features and functionality, we're now offering a whole suite of products, starting with campus hiring, to talent assessment, to recruitment software, to sourcing, to service, through e-hire, to our clients to meet all their hiring needs. And this strategy is beginning to get higher acceptance with some customers. Early days still, but it's beginning to get higher acceptance with some customers. And the acquisition of Zwayam and DoSelect would further enhance our product offering over time. Our tech and product team also successfully launched has three new products in the last 3 or 4 months. RestX Enterprise, for example, a next generation talent planning and sourcing platform equipped with AI ML based personal search and CV recommendations. It also has advanced data analytics to closely track recruiters' performance and productivity tools to save hiring time. We also launched Talent Pulse, a comprehensive talent planning tool that helps organizations shape their hiring strategy through real-time insights on talent distributions, hiring trends, competitive benchmarking, and more. And lastly, we also launched mobile branding solutions. Very recently, we used to offer web branding solutions only on desktop. But now we have started offering mobile branding solutions to companies as well, which will help companies showcase their brand to an untapped pool of mobile savvy talent with company page and targeted ads on Naukri's Job Seeker app. Early results for these new products are encouraging, but it's still early days. Ambition Box, which is our career platform, and which helps job seekers discover best places to work, which hosts a lot of reviews and ratings for companies, also launched its Best Places to Work in India Awards, which showcase top places, workplaces based on more than 1 million reviews from 2,500 locations across the country. These awards were also received well by our customers. Moving on to our operational sort of metrics, this quarter saw a significant uplift in terms of new CV registrations on the platform as well. On the average, we added 16,202 CVs per day, up 93% compared to Q1 of 2020. Average CV modifications were also up to 4,89,000 per day, up 51% year on year. And our traffic share in the job portal space continues to be in the high 70s. Moving over to 99acres, billings in Q1 in 99acres grew by 59.6% year on year to rupees 22.4 crores. While revenue grew 15.8% to rupees 49.2 crores. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 10 lakhs against an EBITDA of 4.1 crores reported in Q1 of 2021. Cash loss for the quarter was 26.9 crores against a cash loss of 24.5 crores last year. We saw a solid recovery in Q4 in 99acres, but Q1 was again hit due to the second wave of COVID. While billings grew 60% year on year, it was on a small base. We were expecting to do much better. till the second wave hit us. Unlike hiring, which has moved totally online and has become very digital, and companies are willing to sort of interview people and make offers without meeting them. You know, homes are a very high involvement category, and most people don't would not buy a home without sort of check, you know, visiting, you know, or sort of seeing a few places, which is why, you know, this business was hit in Q1. We saw a modest recovery in June, and traffic is now back. All our metrics are at an all-time high in 9 acres. And even July was a very, very good month. So we are hopeful and confident that unless and until we get hit by another wave of COVID, things should quickly get back on track in 99 acres. And across all segments, new homes, resale, rental, and commercial. Daily listings on the platform grew 49% in year-on-year in Q1, with both owner and broker listings registering strong growth YOY. Our brand share continued to be in the high 50s vis-a-vis our nearest competitor. Overall inquiries and responses on the platform also grew very strongly in Q1 in all categories, 60% year-on-year on the back of improved platform experience and renewed sort of at least search activity in real estate. People are still searching. They were not sort of going out and checking out places. Better spam detection, new solutions for advertising and discovering pre-leased commercial properties, and a new rental agreement service were also rolled out during the quarter. Reviews on locality insights were further scaled up in the quarter to help buyers and tenants make an informed choice in 99 acres. Going forward, in 99 acres, we expect the share of online medium in the overall spend of advertisers to increase as advertisers realize the inherent cost efficiency of digital versus print and media and holdings. We saw strong upward trends in listings, traffic, inquiries, and revenues in July month, and expect this to continue for the rest of Q2 as well. Both pent-up demand and improved platform experience are driving this upward trend. We continue to invest aggressively in improving our core platform experience in all the verticals within 99 acres, resale, new home, rental, commercial, and in marketing our brand and to further strengthen our competitive position. On the whole, also, the real estate market is, you know, maybe likely to sort of be in a better place than it was for the last 5 years going forward because of, you know, lower home loan rates, real estate becoming more affordable, and the desire to own bigger homes after COVID. Moving on to the Jeevansathi business. Jeevansathi billings grew 10.2% year-on-year in Q1 to rupees 25.1 crores. Revenue grew 11.9% year-on-year to rupees 25.2 crores. Operating EBITDA losses stood at rupees 23.2 crores in Q1 of FY22, up from a loss of rupees 13.3 crore last year. Cash loss for Jeevansathi during the quarter stood at rupees 23.6 crores against a cash loss of rupees 13.3 crores in Q1 of 2021. In Q1, growth momentum slowed down slightly due to rising COVID cases, particularly in the northern parts of the country, but we saw a slight recovery in the month of May and June. Key differentiating features on the platform like online verification, video calling, and video-based online meetups kept driving engagement, and the app rating on the Google Play Store continues to be the best in the category. Moving on to the education business, in Shiksha in Q1, billings grew 101.9% year-on-year to rupees 23.2 crores, while revenue grew 52.4% year-on-year to rupees 22.8 crores. We made an EBITDA profit of rupees 7.7 crores in Q1 in Shiksha versus an EBITDA of rupees 2.1 crores in Q1 of last year. Cash profit for the quarter stood at rupees 8.2 crores against a cash loss of rupees 1.3 crores in Q1 of 2021. Shiksha exhibited strong growth in billing and collections in Q1. Stronger competitive position, focus on student-centric content, and product improvements have helped take our traffic and helped us increase our growth in Shiksha. We continue to invest in making our content more comprehensive and more student-friendly and in building deep domain expertise in the space. This should help us in generating even more responses for our customers going forward. So, at the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at rupees 327.3 crores during Q1 of 2022 versus rupees 285 crores for Q1 of 2021. For the consolidated entity at the total comprehensive income level, there is a profit of rupees 155.9 crores versus a profit of 94.4 crores for the previous quarter ending June 30th, 2020. Adjusted for the exceptional items, PAT stood at rupees 4.9 crores in Q1 of 2022 versus a loss of rupees 7.6 crores in Q1 of 2020. Moving on to our strategic investments, Zomato had a stellar performance of its IPO during the quarter. The issue was subscribed over 38 times. And the stock price is currently at about 160% of the issue price. Our other investee company, Policy Bazaar, has filed a DRHP for SEBI seeking approval for a proposed IPO. And we continue to, of course, evaluate new investment and acquisition opportunities. Thank you. We are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
Thanks. Thanks, Desh. We'll now begin Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may raise your hand on the screen. We'll call your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Anand, you're on mute.
First question comes from Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal. Mukul, go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Hitesh, first, a quick comment on the personnel cost. I know you mentioned that the cost is increasing quite a bit. How should we see this going forward? Last quarter, you had a substantial wage hike. Do you expect it to remain around this level, given that your overall billing and revenues are also moving up? So you will get some cushion from operating leverage, or is the increase in employee retention going to cross that even after the growth?
So listen, the wage bill is of course going to go up because of the pressure on, tech talent especially, right? So we have 4,500 employees in the company, about 700-800 work in tech and related roles. So there, of course, the pressure on the wage bill will be high. It's not that bad with the other 3,700-3,800 people. There you should see normal increases. Now, unless of course the market changes and, it's an evolving situation. Every 3 months, tech salaries go up, right? So we are forced to look at them again. So it's going to be hard. It's hard for me to predict what will happen to tech salaries going forward. But the rest of the company, the salary sort of increase should be modest. But let's see what happens going forward. As far as operating leverage goes, see, we expect this Naukri business to do really well this year, given what we are seeing in the talent market. So if we are able to get anywhere close to the kind of growth, kind of targets we have in mind, then of course you will see a massive improvement in, EBITDA and margins in Naukri, especially. In Shiksha, we are doing well. So if this growth continues, we should be fine. It's not as if we expect costs to surge in Shiksha. Jeevan Sathi, a lot will depend on how much we spend on advertising. The wage pressure on Jeevan Sathi will be, the wage bill is a small part of Jeevan Sathi's total bill. So as 99acres is concerned, again, a lot will depend on what happens to the housing market going forward. We had a terrible Q1 because of COVID too. But we had a reasonably good July. So we are hoping that, and we had a reasonably great, a good Q4 as well. So unless something goes wrong once again, things should be okay on the 99acres front also, as far as, operating margins, et cetera, go. Of course, the wage bill in 99acres will also go up. Especially on the tech side. But that's only about 10 or 15% of our workforce in 99acres is tech. Fingers crossed, but if we have a good year, and all signs are that we might, in fact, the kind of attrition we are seeing in companies, the kind of story we are hearing in the market, we've not heard these kind of stories in the last 15 years. So it's, the talent market is, especially in IT, not in non-IT so much, but on the IT side is the best we've seen in in 15 years, right? There are so many opportunities and people are almost impossible to find. Makes it harder for us on the talent, on the operating side to, we also need to hire and sort of retain people. But if this market continues, then the Naukri business should have a very, very healthy year. And if the non-IT market also comes back, which we're hoping that it will, in the second half of the year, then that will sort of give us a further boost.
Sure, and one quick one on Naukri and one on 99acres. Just a clarification on the Naukri side, the number of unique customers dipped in Q1. The only time we have seen that was last year Q1. So was that on account of the lockdown or was there some other factor at play there? And on 99acre, given that the overall environment seems a bit better from July onwards, do you expect a pickup in your advertisement spends because they kind of came down quite sharply this quarter?
Yeah. So see, in Naukri, what happened last year was because of COVID, because of the lockdown, because companies were scrambled to get their act together, work from home, et cetera, many companies froze hiring, right? Because the market is very unpredictable. If you recall, we were also sort of unsure of what would happen. We actually did a QIP, in the first half of last year. In the end, so what happened as a result is a lot of companies did not renew in Q1, right? So we have a renewal business. A lot of our clients are clients who've been clients for years and they renew every year at the same time. So a lot of clients did not renew in Q1 of last year. Some of them came back and renewed in Q2. Some of them came back and renewed in Q3. Some of them came back and renewed only in Q4. So our bases have shifted. So comparison with 19 to 20 is no longer a fair comparison. You can of course compare with last year, but comparison with 19-20 is no longer the right comparison because bases have shifted, right? So we are hoping to do better vis-a-vis 19-20 in the coming quarters, right? So in this quarter, for example, while we grew massively over last year's same quarter, we did not grow over 19-20 Q1, right? Because bases have shifted. And a lot of the clients who renewed in who sort of gave us business in 19-20 Q1 will now give us business in Q2 and Q3 of this year, right? So we are hoping to see higher growth vis-a-vis 19-20 in Q2 and Q3 this year, right? As far as 99acres is concerned, yes, ad spend was muted this quarter because there was no activity in the hiring market, in the property market. So it did not make a lot of sense to advertise at a time when nobody was venturing out of their homes to look at property. And we've started upping our ad spend in 99acres. And because the market is coming back, like I said, real estate at a very macro level, real estate is more affordable. Real estate is home loan interest rates are lower and people want bigger houses. So we are seeing massive activity on our platform once again, in terms of inquiries, in terms of, anecdotally also, there are, we are hearing stories of people buying property now, which was not the case, a year ago, year and a half ago. And therefore, it may make sense for us to up our advertising spend going forward in 99acres. But again, we'll be a watch and wait. We'll see how the market evolves.
Sure. Thanks for answering my question. I'll get back into the queue.
Thanks, Mukul. Next question is from Pankaj Kapoor from CLSA. Pankaj, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. So first is, I just wanted to understand, was there any impact of the wave two on the bookings in this quarter, especially in the 99acres? And if you can give some sense of that. And also, how much would be ITS of the bookings that we have done in the recruitment business?
Yeah, yeah. See, 99acres bookings were impacted massively by COVID too. See, in Q4 of last quarter, which is Q4, we, I think, billed 72 crores in 99acres, right? And Q4 is normally our best quarter. But we were expecting or hoping to bill at least 60 crores in Q1, but we ended with 22 crores because the market was massively hit by COVID too, All sort of property buying activity came to a virtual halt in most markets. I mean, brokers, see, we make a lot of our money from brokers. They just did not open their shutters, right? They were sort of closed for business. Now they're coming back and we expect this quarter to be a lot better. I don't know if we can give July numbers, but July numbers were pretty decent in 99acres from a billing standpoint. So what was your question regarding?
On the recruitment business, can you give a sense how much would be the billing from the IT, ITS as a vertical?
Okay. So, if you look at a recruiter activity on our platform, what kind of CVs are recruiters viewing, right? One is, of course, how much do we make from IT services companies, how much do we make from, internet companies and so on, which is one way of looking at how much do we make from placement firms. who sort of hire for IT, hire IT talent. And that number, I think, would be close to 50, 55% now, if I'm not mistaken, if you were to sort of, you know, because of the way we, but you know, if I were to look at activity, what are recruiters searching for? Who are they? Which CVs are being viewed? Then close to 57, 58% on some days, even 60% of all hiring sort of all searches and hiring activity is for IT talent on our platform today.
Understood. And Hitesh, slightly longer term, but you have traditionally been very prudent in your approach to valuations, whether it is for investing or for making acquisitions. So I was just wondering, do you now see a need to maybe rethink there, given the kind of currently the levels, what we are seeing are fairly elevated? So if you want to really do a scale acquisition in the different segments, which I think you have been keen to do, but have not been successful in the last few quarters. So are you looking at maybe having a rethink on there? And related to that is that now, since we have Zomato and probably Policy Bazaar also being listed, so we now have these stocks as currency. Will that change your approach in terms of how you look at the valuations? Thank you.
So listen, valuations are what they are. I mean, they've for certain companies, they've definitely gone through the roof. I mean, for many other companies, they actually haven't moved too much, right? So if you look at some of the other sort of you know, players in the segments we operate in, it's not as if valuations have moved that much, right? They've, of course, you know, improved over what they were 1 year ago. Would we be willing to pay more? Of course, if it makes sense for us to pay more, if the business, if by consolidation or through some acquisition, which allows us to do things which we are not able to do today, we are able to create a lot more value for our users or for our investors, we would be more than happy to sort of revisit, valuations, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, so the investors are looking at the company in a certain way. We are also being rewarded. Our valuations have also gone up. You know, there are some, the interest rates are low, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which has an impact. So we would definitely be willing to consider paying the right price in our view, for assets which make sense for us to own in the long run, right? But having said so, you know, I mean, like I said, valuation lies in the beauty, like beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, valuation lies in the eyes of the valuer. So it has to it has to be a sensible valuation. It can't be something which is totally out of it.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, Pankaj. Next question is from Pranav from Edelweiss. Pankaj, go ahead and ask your question. Sorry, it is from Pranav. Pranav, you are there? Pranav is not there. So we'll take the next question. Next question is from Manik from JM Financial. Manik, go ahead and ask your question. Manik is also not visible. So maybe we'll take the next question.
Hitan, there are some questions in the chat box. Do you want to sort of answer them? Some of them?
I already started responding to some of them.
Okay, good. Thanks.
The next person in queue is Rishit from Nomura. Rishit, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, Rishit, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So just one question from my side, right? I think there was a news article, we've recently sort of invested into Ixigo, right? Which is more or less a file for an IPO. So the point that I wanted to check is, are we sort of looking at late stage, larger ticket size investments as well, versus compared to early stage, more smaller tickets earlier that we've largely focused on? Is there a clear change in strategy, or this could be termed as a one-off?
Yeah, I'll take that question, Sanjeev here. So look, in the AIF we floated, as per the sort of agreements and the charter, roughly 10% of the funds can go into, as first our first checks, into growth and later stage companies. So it's not as if it's a massive shift in strategy, at least not now. It is from that pocket. And that pocket is then $10 million. Okay. And that's about it. Now, any further changes in strategy, we'll have to sort of evaluate later as we go along. But as of now, there's nothing to announce. But this is from that small pocket.
Okay, fair enough. One question on Naukri, if you could just provide a color. So we've seen a lot of those renewals, which is typically come to us in 4Q and 1Q, right? I mean, that's typically been the seasonality. So you would expect that will be more like a 2Q, 3Q phenomenon. And then it could be a substantial, it could be a very similar improvement that we've seen in the past, or it could be much higher given the momentum is much stronger in the Naukri business because of the demand in the IT services piece.
You're right. You know, the renewals sort of cycle has changed because the bases have shifted and a lot of companies did not renew in Q1. Some did not even renew in Q4 of last year. You know, because when COVID hit us, it hit us in the last 2 weeks of March. So we saw some deferral at that time also in Q1 of Q4 of 2019-20. And then we saw a lot of companies deferring their purchases in Q1 of 2021 as well. And so some of these companies came back and renewed in Q2 and some came back and renewed in Q3. So the bases have shifted, and therefore, unlike previous years when Q4 and Q1 used to be our biggest quarters, we are more likely to see a more sort of balanced year, right? Will growth rates improve further going forward? I mean, who knows? I mean, the IT market, like I said, is super hot and it could become hotter. And what happens in a hot market, as you all know, is that companies don't ask for a lot of discounts while volumes also go up. You are able to attract new customers. And if the non-IT market comes back, then that could provide a further boost because all said and done, 30-40% of our hiring is still, 35-40% is still not of non-IT folks. And there we are not seeing, we are just seeing a modest recovery at this point in time. But if that market also recovers, if manufacturing sort of starts to pick up, or if infra investments start to pick up, and, you know, or it just because of, you know, COVID starts to subside and companies sort of start opening and start hiring and they feel more confident, then of course growth rates could get even better going forward.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thanks, Rishit. The next person in queue is Manik from JM Financial. Manik, go ahead and ask a question.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, Manik, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I had a few questions. The first question was with regards to our Naukri business. While Hitesh, you suggested that you expect Naukri to do quite well this year due to the solid hiring environment in the IT space, just wanted to understand, is there a leverage for our revenues to the level or the volume of hiring in the market? Because our sense was that the business is largely subscription linked. And does it also give us some leverage to increase pricing? And I had a few follow-up questions as well.
Yeah. See, what happens is, see, in a normal year, we end up giving a lot of discounts to customers, especially bulk discounts. So in a good market, one doesn't have to extend those discounts, number one. Number two, in a growth market, companies want to grow, they want to add headcount. One, they need to sort of stay at the same place. You know, because attrition levels go up, they need to hire more people, right? And then on top of that, they want to grow because there's more business coming their way, they want to increase their headcount. So that means, you know, they will want to post more jobs, they will want to view more CVs, they will want to send more emails to our database. So you get some volume growth as well. And a lot of companies, you know, to stand out, they want their brand to sort of, they would spend a little more on branding also, right? So all this will result in us getting more volume as well from a lot of our customers, not just price increases. And then in a good year, in a good market, what happens is a lot of new people also set up shop. So there is more companies sort of become active. Some companies maybe sometimes go dormant, sometimes new players set up shop. So we are likely to have more customers as well. So let's see how this plays out. But right now, you know, the signs are that we should be able to up our prices, or at least our realized prices. We are getting all our lost accounts back. Our renewal rates are at an all-time high, right? So it should be a good year.
Sure. So I had a couple of questions for Sanjeev as well. So while Zomato has already got listed, Policy Bazaar is on the way to getting listed, could you talk about the 3-4 key portfolio plays within our existing portfolio that you think one should be watchful of in terms of making a lot of headway over the next 2-3 years? And secondly, how just wanted to get your thoughts around how do we compete against the new aggression in the space right now, people closing deals in the span of days, which would be quite contrary to the way InfoEdge has thought about making these investments over the last decade or so. Thank you.
Okay, so as far as some of the younger companies in the old portfolio are concerned, people like ShopKirana, Gramophone, Shipsy, Business, etc. I mean, we are quite hopeful of many of them at Adda247. They're much younger, they're much newer investments as compared to Zomato or Policybazaar, which are, you know, 11 and 13 years old. So investments do take time to become valuable in India. But look, we are hopefully confident. We are supporting them further. There's external investors coming in, some of them. And it's overall looking good. But it takes a while before they really become, they move the needle on our own valuation or our own market cap. Right? And before they come anywhere close to where Zomato and Policybazaar are today. As far as competition is concerned, look, I mean, we've got to live with it. Right? We compete. We get some deals. We miss some deals. There are deals that we can't do in 3 days. You know, we miss them, although we try. There are deals we can do in 5 days, 7 days sometimes. And sometimes we can't because, you know, it's we have to go through our process, right? And I don't think we should be investing out of a sense of herd mentality or a compulsion that we've got to invest because he's got a term sheet and he's going to close in 3 days. It's okay. Yeah, we'll live with it. It's a small fund, $100 million. If we miss some, it's okay. We'll get some more.
Sure. That's quite helpful. And last one, given the shift in terms of billing that you encountered during the past 12 months, would it be more prudent to look at our billing performance on an LTM basis? Just once.
So you asked this question, Hitesh?
Yes, that's correct.
Sorry, LTM? What does LTM mean? Sorry?
Last 12 months.
Okay. Chintan, what do you think?
I didn't get the question.
You think it's because bases have shifted, you know, doesn't make more sense to look at LTM, last 12 month billing, as opposed to year on year or?
Yeah, whatever. I think one can look at that. You know, and as we progress, we will kind of get a better understanding of how the bases have moved and how we should be looking at it. But it's a good suggestion. You know, we can look at in the last 12 months as a kind of a comparison. I still think that if you look at right now, last 12 months, probably because of the pandemic, may not give you a correct picture. But as we go forward, I think that may make sense because then we can compare a normal stable year with a normal stable year with a shift in base.
Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thanks, Marek. So any more questions? There were a couple of people also raised hand. Right now not visible. We have some questions in Q&A box. So yes, Pranav is back. Pranav from Edelweiss. So Pranav, go ahead and ask a question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Pranav, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is regarding other expenses. So how should we see the marketing expenses trending in the next, 3 to 4 quarters? Because, that has been sort of curtailed for some time due to pandemic.
So listen, we don't expect to spend a lot of money on marketing in Naukri unless something changes dramatically in the market. In 99acres, in Jeevan Sathi, we've been spending a lot of money. It's not as if we have not been spending for the last 4-8 quarters. Marketing spend in Jeevan Sathi will continue to be high going forward as well. In 99acres, we've not spent a lot of money in the last few quarters because the real estate market was impacted because of COVID. Now, if we don't see a third wave coming and if we continue to sort of see the kind of action we saw in 99acres in Q4 of last year and in July of this year, then of course spend will go up a little bit in 99acres going forward.
My second question is regarding the M&A. I mean, you had raised capital for, some M&A in the related sectors. So far, there has been very little action. Is it largely due to the valuation expectations or the targets what you're finding are too small at this point of time, and that's why those are the smaller companies which you are ending up investing? I mean the large acquisitions have not really happened, So how should we see this and what is the reason for, you know, those not happening?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. So one, you know, there aren't too many sort of targets we are sort of excited about, you know, in given the spaces we operate in. There aren't too many large companies to acquire in jobs, for example. Shiksha was a small business for us. In 9acres and Jeevansathi is where we've been looking mostly in matrimony and real estate. And the number of companies we can acquire can possibly count on the fingers of one or maybe two hands at max. So it's partly that there aren't too many sort of acquirable companies or companies which we would love to acquire. And partly it's the ones which are, you know, the valuations have been, so you see the thing with valuations have been going up every quarter, right? So every time it looks like a deal is doable at a certain price, you know, things change and then you have to go back to the drawing board. So it's a harder market to acquire also because valuations have been sort of going up and up and up. In a lot. And that, you know, generally, and like I said, even though valuations have not gone up for everybody, but even then, you know, when you hear of some company going public or, you know, there's an IPO pipeline building up, the market is sort of rewarding a lot of companies very differently, you know, expectations go up. So that's also making it a little harder. So let's see. I mean, we are not in a hurry, like you said. Like I said, you know, we are happy to pay the right price, but we don't want to pay, you know, we don't want to sort of, I don't think we will acquire a company which is losing $200 billion a year and pay $2 billion. That's not going to happen.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thanks, Pranav. Next person in queue is Arnav. Arnav is an digital investor. Arnav, go ahead and ask a question.
Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. One was, it'll be great if you can give some color on First Naukri and Job Hai. In the annual report on First Naukri, you mentioned this is at the nascent stage. It'll be good to get a sense, you know, how do you see it in the 3 to 5 year lens? And same for Job Hai. And then the second question was around the recent investment in ShipRocket. I think Sanjeev just mentioned that you're looking at late stage but only to a certain threshold of the overall amount. So it would be great to get some color on ShipRocket investment and also on Job Hai and First Naukri. Thank you.
So First Naukri and Job Hai are both very tiny businesses for us. First Naukri, you know, is a small business. Of course, we've been in the space for a while and we've been figuring things out slowly. And we've now supplemented the offering with DoSelect, which is a talent assessment platform we just acquired, you know, in the month of July. So previously we had a tie-up with another platform. Now we have our own platform for assessment. Do we expect the business to become a very large business going forward? The answer is no. But it does supplement and complement our main Naukri offering and helps us complete the hiring suite when we go to customers. So when we go to customers, we say, listen, we have everything from campus hiring to recruitment software to premium hiring products like IIM Jobs and Hirist and mass hiring products like Naukri and so on. So, you know, it's part of that bouquet and we continue to invest behind that business and we expect it to sort of grow at a reasonably healthy rate going forward. Job Hai is a startup inside InfoEdge. We've been at it for about, you know, 18 months or so. And of course, then we had COVID in between. We have test market launched in Delhi NCR. We've got reasonably good success. And we are now going to roll it out nationally as a platform to sort of, you know, but we're still not monetizing it. It's still a long time away from that. So I see Job Hai more as a 3 to 5 year play, not as a 1 or 2 year play. Okay. And again, you know, only if you get good results will we sort of invest aggressively in the behind the business. But chances are that, you know, the market is now beginning to sort of, you know, earlier it was very hard to make a blue collar business succeed in India for various reasons, but now it does look like all the trends are in favor of blue collar hiring moving online, and it maybe should be possible to sort of build a viable business in this space over the next 4 or 5 years. So if we get the right response, we will definitely up our investment in this space going forward. Sanjeev, you want to take the one on ShipRocket?
Yeah, sorry. I can you repeat that question, please, on ShipRocket?
Yeah, the question was, Sanjeev, you just recently mentioned that, you know, you're looking at late stage investments across a certain threshold. Will ShipRocket fall in that, or you will say it's...
Yes, ShipRocket is from that. It's from that pool.
Okay. So, and could you like quantify, if possible, to share what number of this total of that pool you've invested, even in terms of percentage?
No, as of now, our pocket allocated for first checks into growth related companies is 10%. You know, in exceptional circumstances, we may go to the committee to approve a little change and bust that a bit, but it's not a significant chunk of the fund as of now.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Hitesh. Thanks, Anju. Take care. Best of luck.
Thanks, Anju. The next question is from Gaurav Bansal from Deutsche Bank. Gaurav, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hey, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, Gaurav, go ahead.
Yeah. One question I had is that we have been talking about like Naukri and Shiksha and other segments. And what I wanted to know is that any other area, niche area that we are actually looking down the line for future prospects?
See, inside the company, as far as operating businesses go, we are focused on these big sort of categories, jobs, recruitment, real estate, and matrimonials or singles. And, you know, most of our investments, most of the thing, acquisitions, most of the new businesses we try and build inside the company will be in these spaces. Now, these spaces are vast and we see a lot of opportunity. I just mentioned Naukri. In Naukri, it's not just the main Naukri business. We have a Naukri Gulf business. We have a First Naukri business. We have a Zwayam business. We have a Hirist and IIM Jobs business. We're doing Job Hai. We are doing Big Shift, which is a talent AI-based platform for hiring. So there are a bunch of activities we are doing in jobs other than Naukri, right? And that's where a lot of our investment is going today. Similarly, in Shiksha, we are sort of have a Shiksha domestic business. We are trying to build an online sort of market course, a marketplace for online courses as well, which is today called Naukri Learning. We are experimenting. We've started a Shiksha study abroad business, right? So we, you know, have started sending students overseas all online. Similarly, in 99acres, we started as a resale platform. Then over time, we went to new homes. And now we are focusing a lot more than earlier on rentals and commercial as well. So these are, you know, large spaces. There's a lot to do in each of these spaces. It's unlikely that we will enter, you know, a fifth category. We will continue to make investments, strategic investments. We invested in at least three education companies, No Paper Forms, which is an education software provider, Coding Ninja, which is an edtech. You know, they actually teach coding. We've invested in Greytip, which is an HR services HR software company. So we continue to make these investments outside. We've invested in a broker network in real estate. So in adjacent areas, we will also continue to invest outside. We will continue to acquire in these areas. We will continue to see more and more sort of opportunities inside the company in these areas. But we are likely to limit ourselves to these four large categories in the near term at least.
Okay. Thanks, Nitesh.
Thanks, Gaurav. Next question is from Ankur Rudra from JP Morgan. Ankur, go ahead and ask your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, Ankur.
So, thanks for taking my question. Just one question on Naukri. Could you, if it's possible to disaggregate at all, how should we think about growth adjusting for the base shift and renewals that you saw? Is it possible to disaggregate that to see, you know, what is the true, you know, like for like or pro forma growth trending at right now compared to F20?
Chintan, any way of doing that? I mean,
you'll have to say this again.
Chintan, the question was if you can. Is it possible to sort of adjust for the base shifting on the renewal side on the Naukri billings to see what is the growth over F20 that you're currently trending at?
I have to kind of get into, you know, granular analysis for that, right? But like, you know, like you just said that, you know, maybe you can get comfort from the fact that the renewals, you know, rates have kind of gone up. So maybe there's a shift, and obviously the shift is in, you know, leaning towards the later quarter, because like Yasser, we started the COVID, the Q1 kind of went into Q2, Q3, Q4, right? So there has been, obviously there is the trend would now, you can see that it's going towards the later quarter, and whatever has remained in the quarter, the subscription renewal rates are all time high. So obviously there is an inherent, you know, growth, but cohorts would have changed, you know.
Okay, so perhaps, you know, over the next 2 quarters, we'll probably get a better sense, I guess.
Yeah.
The second thing on Naukri was, is it possible to give us a flavor of how the billings or revenue breaks up now across the various parts of the business, right? As you highlighted just in the answer to the previous question, between India, Gulf, First Naukri, IIMJobs, what I'm trying to understand is, you know, how the trends different across these businesses now.
So, therefore, see, the Gulf business is, you know, not on a roll because, you know, it's not an IT sort of, it's not indexed to IT. So, the Gulf recovery is modest, right? And it's Gulf revenues that I think out of the total sort of business we do in recruitment, about 50, 60 crores comes from the Gulf. 50, 55 crores comes from the Gulf, right? So, that's not on a roll. First Naukri is tiny. It's doing well, but it's tiny. It doesn't move the needle. IIMJobs, like I think we mentioned, it grew by 170% in Q1, you know, of course, on a very tiny base because last year Q1 was impacted by COVID. So we built about 8.5 crores from IIMJobs in this quarter, IIMJobs and Hirist, which is not in our standalone, I think, right, Chintan, because it's a separate company.
So yeah, it's
definitely not been merged or with InfoEdge as yet. So now I don't know how to look at it, but, you know, July, for example, the year over previous growth was very, very handsome. Now, will it sustain going forward? I don't know. In Naukri.
Okay, appreciate that. In terms of, you know, as you said, the growth in Naukri appears to be very, very strong. And typically, we see a significant operating leverage payout whenever that happened in the past. How are you thinking about it this time? Are you thinking of investing some of that back into the business? Because you probably should be getting a lot of leverage going forward.
Yes, you know, so if things play out as expected, of course, Naukri will generate a record cash at least this year. And of course, not all of that can be invested back in the recruitment business, right? But we'll continue to invest like we have in, you know, we'll continue to make financial investments, we'll continue to invest more in Jeevan Sathi, we'll continue to sort of, we'll up our spending 99acres if that market responds positively. We are continue to look for acquisitions, interesting sort of companies to acquire in the spaces we operate. So all that will continue.
Okay, so margins should expand on that. In terms of, you know, how you've seen Q1 this time play out, have you seen this time versus last time any impact on, you know, user behavior in your, you know, portfolio companies, in your other non-Naukri business, in 99acres, Jeevan Sathi or Shiksha, which has moved in any one direction or the other, beyond the obviously the impact of not using them during the lockdown?
So in general, we are seeing, I don't know whether it happened for the category as a whole, the Jeevan Sathi business was impacted negatively this time during COVID. I think the April and May wave was just too much to bear for, and you know, we get most of our business from the Hindi belt, and I think the Hindi belt was the worst sort of impacted by COVID. So we saw a decline in activity. I mean, it still grew, but was still better than last year, but it did not sort of grow to the extent we would have expected it to sort of grow. I think people took a pause, marriages got delayed, and you know, I think even now, activity is only slowly coming back into that market. In all the other, in 99acres, of course, we were impacted by COVID, like I said, but it's bounced back very, very strongly after COVID. So we are again seeing record activity in our platform, and we are seeing record activity on the rental side as well, not just on the buy side, right? In the first wave, you know, rental was massively impacted. Rental activity on the platform was impacted because of COVID. Now we are seeing rental activity also bounce back, you know, after COVID too. In Naukri, you know, there's record activity on the platform, both on the recruited side and on the job seeker side, because there's just too many jobs out there and not enough job seekers, lots of opportunities, right? Shiksha also, we continue to see a lot of activity on our platform. Again, you know, all-time high in terms of numbers.
Understand. Just lastly, in terms of, you know, on a broader basis, given the success of Zomato's listing, any thoughts about changing of the size or volume of your investments, either via the IIF or otherwise?
I mean, we'll take it company by company. The AIF is, of course, a $100 billion fund. Naturally, keep evaluating as opportunities emerge. Should we do a follow-on fund? There's no such plan right now, but nothing announced there. But, you know, should we do it? It's a question to be discussed. But look, our first priority is to get the $100 million fund right. And as we are convinced it's getting right, we will evaluate opportunities as they arise. Now, from the balance sheet investment companies, yeah, we have the flexibility to go in larger because that's from the balance sheet. And that we keep evaluating. So these will be companies like Gramophone, Shop Kirana, Adda 24/7, you know, Shipsy, you know, Ustra. Those are from the balance sheet.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thanks, Ankur. Thank you so much. The next question comes from Seema Nayak. Seema, go ahead and ask your question. Seema, you're on mute.
Hi, this is Ruchi from Bank of Baroda Capital. I have a question for Sanjeev. So Zomato's listing and few more to join soon. We have seen a very encouraging response from investors despite operational losses at these companies. Do you think this can increase the possibility of fast track IPO for some of your investee companies?
You know, we don't think it's a good idea for a company to go public before it is ready. It has to deal with the listing afterwards. It has to deal with the scrutiny, deal with the, you know, the reporting, the compliances. It has to, you know, be answerable to analysts. Management gets distracted very often. So we believe that we should not accelerate any IPOs, you know, and do them any sooner than is advisable. So I don't think we'll be accelerating any IPO. Yes, policy with us is fine, but the others, when they're good and ready.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you.
Next question comes from Anirudh Sengupta. Anirudh, go ahead and ask your question.
I have a basic question about the overall business. How would you like to see yourself as a investment management company or internet business management company? I mean, I would just like to seek your views on that.
Yeah. Shall I go first, Vinesh, or should I go?
Yeah, please.
Look, we are primarily an operating company. The company has 4,500 people, approximately. And of that 400, only 6 work in investments, in financial investments. Another 2 or 3 work in strategic investments. So fewer than 10 people out of 4,500 work on investments. You know, and so we are primarily an operating company. Surpluses generated from there. And some of those surpluses we deploy into making investments to create greater value for our shareholders. So we are primarily an operating company, and that's our identity.
Okay, can I make a follow-up question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, so I agree that is the scenario as it is today. However, if you are to look out a bit far out into the future, what would be your guidance to investors on this front?
So look, I mean, you heard Hitesh, he's expecting good growth coming back in the operating businesses going forward, unless there's a third wave of COVID. So, you know, there'll be some businesses that are growing faster than others, and sometimes the operating businesses start growing faster. So we're reasonably well diversified. And yes, we do have ownership of some other good internet businesses, but we are primarily an operating company.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nandar. Next question comes from Charvi Chandwani. Charvi, go ahead and ask your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Charvi.
Congratulations, everyone, for support for this incredible IPO. I'm a 25-year-old, so I feel really a sense of pride in having Zomato, seeing Zomato on BSE listed. My question is very common, has been asked earlier. Is Info Edge considering any kind of split in the coming period?
Stock split, you're talking about? A bonus?
Yeah. Yes. Stock split.
Yeah, I don't think we have... even tabled such a discussion. I'll tell you why. if you want to do a bonus, then you need some predictability. And given what's happened the last 15 months on COVID, I don't think anybody has had the courage to recommend a bonus or a stock split because we don't know what will happen after 6 months. When you get stability in the environment, maybe we could consider it. Chintan, you want to add to this? You're the boss on this one.
Yeah, no, I think in the past also board has looked at it. You know, and many retail shareholders do come and suggest, you know, that retail shareholding is low. The, you know, the share price value has gone up. And there's some merit in, in this split. You know. But look, you know, eventually it is, board's decision, and we would have a comprehensive, debate before any such decision is taken. And some of the consideration, like Sanjeev mentioned, that we also need to look at that, would we be able to service, you know, the higher base with dividend and things like that. And then based on that, we will take a call on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chavan. That was the last question we had till now. In case any more questions, please raise your hand. We will wait for a minute. In case of any question, please raise your hand. Vivek, I think we're done for the moment, so maybe you can raise up comments.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I now hand over the conference to Pritesh for his closing comments.
No, thank you everyone for taking time out for this call, and have a great evening and stay safe. See you next quarter.
Thank you everyone, and bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone. Thank you so much.